Shalavim really had a tremendous impact on my life. It was clearly a transformational experience for me. My 2 years at Shalavim really made a tremendous difference, and I have a tremendous amount of Hakaras HaTov that really the first years that I really had the opportunity to learn and to, more importantly, I think, meet people, Talmidim that were older than I, but showed a certain hislavos to learning, a certain commitment to Torah Yisrael, to Am Yisrael, to Medina Yisrael, was here at Shalavim. And I'm halachically responsible to acknowledge that relationship and that connection, and I am forever grateful to the yeshiva for giving me the opportunity to begin the journey of engaging in Torah. I'd like to, because it is Rosh Chodesh Adar, and because it is the beginning of Adar, I'd like to actually talk a little bit about Purim. The challenge is to talk about Purim in a way that perhaps I will be able to share with you some nuggets of some things you won't hear over the next few weeks. So I'm going to start with some things that I think you might hear, but then maybe move to something that's quasi-original. It's not totally original, quasi-original, and perhaps we'll be able to enjoy these ideas together. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yudalad Omid Aleph tells us that Arbayim Ushmona Neviim V'Sheva Neviot Nisnabu Lehem Yisrael, that there were 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses that prophesied to the Jewish people V'lo Patsu V'lo Siru Al Mashu Kasa B'Torah. They never added or detracted from what was written in the Torah, Chutz M'Mikra Megillah, with the exception of Esther, who added the entire idea of the recitation of Megillah or the establishment of the Chag of Purim. The Gemara in Megillah goes through a tremendous conversation regarding the establishment of the holiday of Purim. He uses Pesach as the halachic umbrella in order to be able to establish Purim, that after all, Pesach, if the Jewish people were redeemed from Avdus L'Cheirus, and we celebrated Ben Benoshel Kal V'Chomer, if the Jewish people were going to be destined to be killed, it is permitted to be able to celebrate the redemption from being killed, and therefore the legitimacy of creating this rabbinic holiday is based on the institution of Pesach itself. Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to point out to us that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, in their codification of the laws of Hanukkah and Megillah, highlight really the difference between the roles of these two Svarim. The Shulchan Aruch, as the word means, the ordered table of the Jewish calendar, follows the Jewish calendar in the establishment in the writing of both the laws of Hanukkah and Purim. Hanukkah is stated first in the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin. Purim is stated second in the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Pei Vav, and after that, because if you start the Jewish calendar from Rosh Hashanah, you'll hit Hanukkah before Purim. The Rambam, who is the codifier par excellence, does not separate Hanukkah and Purim into separate chapters, but rather has 4 chapters in which the Rambam has both the laws of Purim and Hanukkah together. The Rambam actually doesn't call it Purim and Hanukkah. He doesn't follow the calendar order. He doesn't call it Hanukkah and Purim. He calls it Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. And again, he puts it in 1-4 chapters. Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, because the role of the Rambam is to show you the development of Mishnah Torah, of the oral tradition. That's why the Rambam in Mishnah Torah will tell you the story of Hanukkah, but not the story of Purim, or for that matter, any other Chag, because that's found in Torah Shebiksav. Hanukkah is not found in Torah Shebiksav. It might be found in Megillas Chashmonaim, but that's not part of Torah Shebiksav, and therefore needs to be stated as part of Torah Shebalpeh in Mishnah Torah. But the Rambam deviates from the calendrical order. The Rambam first has the laws of Purim, and then the laws of Hanukkah. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that that's because the whole Purim is the matir, gives the halachic permissibility for the institution of Hanukkah. The Gemara doesn't challenge why you can have Hanukkah, because the permissibility of having Hanukkah is predicated on the fact that if it fits into the license of Purim, it is permitted. And just like Hanukkah represents the salvation of Knesset Yisrael, and it basically fits under the category of Purim. If you want to be medantic and watch the Rambam's nuance of language, as Rabbi Soloveitchik would point out to us, you'll see that the Rambam is very clear in Hilchas Chanukah when he introduces the mitzvahs of Hilchas Chanukah. The Rambam will always say the following. He'll say, for example, Chanukah is asurim behesped ubetainis. Chanukah, you cannot eulogize and you cannot fast. Ki yimei Purim, just like Purim. But Halakas Neros is a mitzvah, Medivrei Sofrim in the Rambam is a quasi-biblical commandment. Kikriyas HaMegillah, because it is under the license of reading the Megillah. Kol Shechayiv B'Kriyas HaMegillah, only those obligated in reading the Megillah are obligated in Neros Chanukah. Because again, it is Purim which gives us the license to create rabbinic holidays that respect or recognize the fact when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from a tzara. A side point, there's actually this whole notion of a Purim Katan, that communities created miniature Purims at times in which they were saved as communities or as families, again, under the license of Purim itself. In fact, many of the Tshuva Sfarim discuss the idea that Yom HaTzmaut itself, the whole institution of Yom HaTzmaut and its halachic legitimacy, is predicated in many ways under the banner, under the umbrella of Purim, that just like we celebrate the Purim of being protected from being destroyed, so Yom HaTzmaut can fit somewhat into that same category. That's an interesting idea regarding the holiday of Purim. The Baalei Kabbalah, when they discuss Purim, they actually add another piece to this. And they say, and this is particularly that's found in many places, but the Vilna Gaon discusses this, Rav Huttner discusses this in multiple places. If you look at Pachad Yitzchak, you'll see that Rav Huttner discusses this very often. And Rav Huttner explains that if you want to understand what Purim is all about, this new rabbinic holiday, this new institution, understand that Purim is equated to Yom Kippur. In fact, says Rav Huttner, the Vilna Gaon, and many of the Baalei Kabbalah, if you want to understand the word Yom Kippur, the true word is Yom Kippurim, and it really means Yom, a day, Kippurim, like Purim. And the question is, what exactly is this idea that is found throughout the Kabbalistic literature, that Purim, its partner, so to say, within the biblical holidays, is Yom Kippur? What connection is there between Yom Kippur and Purim? Yom Kippur is a day in which we don't eat, we don't drink. It's a day of Inuyim. Purim is just the opposite. Purim is a day of eating and drinking. Yom Kippur is we step away from the physical. Purim is just the opposite. We engage within the physical. What is this similarity between Yom Kippur and Purim? And if we want to understand this, I think it's important to recognize that often our understanding of Yom Kippur is, in my opinion, not fully embraced, not fully understood. And maybe for 5 minutes, we'll just spend just reviewing a new understanding of Yom Kippur, and then we'll be able to connect it to the institution of Purim and understand what the Baalei Kabbalah saw in the vision of Purim and the vision of this new rabbinic holiday and what it truly celebrates. It is important to recognize that when it comes to Yom Kippur, that Yom Kippur has the din of a chag. It's no different than Sukkot and Pesach when it comes to Avelos. The same way that Avelos is stopped with Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos, in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur has the din of a chag. And the halacha is that it's mavato aveilus. The Gemara in Tainus tells us that there were two significant days of joy within the Jewish calendar, and those are Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. What is unique about Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur? Anyone? What's unique about Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur? No? Anyone? Can someone just yell it out and say it? No? The women would go out and they would dance. It would be this major singles event on Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. They would dance in certain clothing. They would turn to the bachurim and say, choose, you know, who you want, who is appropriate. It was a major singles event. One would think that that's the total opposite of what Yom Kippur is all about. Yom Kippur is a day of inuyim. It's a day of affliction. What does that have to do with the beautiful celebration of finding your basher, to finding someone to live the rest of your life with? But nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that that's what happened in Yom Kippur. In fact, the institution on Yom Kippur of reciting Kriyas HaTorah, the Kriyas HaTorah from Mincha of Yom Kippur, has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. It has to do with the issues of Arayos, the certain norms and mores regarding who you can marry and who you can't. What's the connection with Yom Kippur? The answer is, because right before this major singles event, there was a review of who you could marry and who you could not marry. So before you had that major singles event, you were able to understand what halachot applied to you regarding this institution. And so we see that there's a certain festivity to Yom Kippur. In fact, when the Rambam lists the laws of Yom Kippur, he doesn't put it in the laws of fast days. He doesn't put it in Hilchos Taniyot. He puts it in something called Hilchot Shvitat Asar. It is the resting on the 10th day. We learn about the inuyim, the prohibitions of Yom Kippur, from the pasuk Shabbat Shabbaton Hilachem. Shabbat Shabbaton, Yom Kippur, is the quintessential Shabbos experience. It's the ultimate Shabbos experience. All of the inuyim are learned from those psukim. And in some ways, the Rambam is very careful to make sure that one does not think that Yom Kippur is like any other fast day in which you're commemorating a tragedy. Yom Kippur is totally different. The Rambam actually suggests, we don't paskin like this, but the Rambam suggests in the laws of Yom Kippur, Hilchos Shvisas Atzer, he says the following, a very interesting halacha. And then we'll get back to Purim. The Rambam says, Umutter lenakev esayerek biyom hakipurim min amincha lamala. It is permitted to prepare the break fast on Yom Kippur from mincha time. Why is it permitted to prepare the break fast? Mipnei agmas nefesh. Because we don't want a person to have agmas nefesh. We don't want a person to be pained on Yom Kippur. Wait a minute. I thought that part of Yom Kippur may be this whole notion of Yontif, it's Mavato Avelis, this major singles event. It is Shabbat Shabbaton, the ultimate Shabbos experience. But Be'initem et Nafsho Seichem. I thought Yom Kippur is all about afflicting your soul. Be'initem et Nafsho Seichem. But nevertheless, the Rambam brings down the Gemara. Again, we don't paskin this way. But the Rambam brings down the Gemara that suggests that you can prepare breakfast on Yom Kippur so you don't have agmas nefesh. You don't have pain on Yom Kippur. That you don't feel pain on Yom Kippur. So what is this institution of Yom Kippur? Is it a day of inuyim? Is it a day of afflictions? Which seems from the word v'initem et nafshoseichem? Or is Yom Kippur a day of simcha? A day of joy, which is seen by the halachas of no avelus, which is seen by the halachas of having this major singles event where the Gemara says it's the ultimate day of simcha, where all the halachot are learned out from Shabbat Shabbaton, the ultimate Shabbos experience, where the Rambam classifies all the laws of Yom Kippur as Shabbat Shabbaton, as Hilchot Shvitat Asar, the ultimate Shabbos experience on the 10th day of the month. What is this institution of Yom Kippur that the Baalei Kabbalah insist that if you really want to understand the secret behind Purim, You have to understand the magic of Yom Kippur. And so I believe that perhaps we misunderstand what the words "ve'initem et nafshoseichem" means. You see, in Tanakh, "ve'initem," and in the Gemara, "ve'initem" can mean two different things. "Ve'initem" can mean affliction, but "ve'initem" can mean something else. For example, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, what does the word "lechem oni" mean? What is the word "lechem oni"? The Gemara says either "lechem oni" means bread of affliction, poor man's bread, the broken bread of the matzah, or "lechem oni" means "lechem she'onim alav devarim harbe." It is the lechem, it is the bread, it is the matzah in which you must sing "she'onim alav devarim harbe." You must recite the challah. The word "oni" can mean two different things. It can mean either affliction, or it can mean to sing. We see that in other places also, that the word "oni" can mean not just to afflict, but rather to sing. In the bringing of the Bikurim, we say "va'anita va'amarta elav arami oved avi." What does "va'anita" mean there? Does "va'anita" mean to afflict? "Va'anita" means not just to state, but to state with joy. The word "va'anita" or "ve'anita" has two different meanings. It can mean either to sing, or it can mean to afflict. Perhaps when we look at this word in discussing Yom Kippur, "Shabbat Shabbaton hi lachem," says the Torah. Yom Kippur is the ultimate Shabbos experience. We step away from everything physical. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't wear leather. We're not engaged with intimacy between spouses. We step away from bathing in any way, shape, or form. Because Shabbat Shabbaton hi lachem. It's the ultimate Shabbos experience. "Ve'initem es nafshoseichem." Yom Kippur is about not afflicting your soul. "Ve'initem es nafshoseichem." Yom Kippur is about allowing your soul to sing. Allowing your soul to connect. Allowing us to create shleimus. To be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, in some ways, there's pain, there's challenge in the notion of tshuva. But "ve'initem es nafshoseichem" is not about the affliction. Because if that's what Yom Kippur was about, there wouldn't be this halachic understanding that Yom Kippur is a day of yontif. That Yom Kippur you can prepare for break fast, already from mincha time. "Ve'initem es nafshoseichem" means that it's the opportunity for your soul to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That all of the masks, that all of the barriers, that all of the separation between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets removed on this day of total spirituality. No physical components to the day as we engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara tells us that the most joyous day in the Beis HaMikdash was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. What were the songs that the Gemara in Sukkah tells us were sung at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Songs of tshuva. The whole idea of reconciliation, of creating a romantic connection between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's simcha in the shleimus, in the achievement of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you really want to understand the goal of Yom Kippur, understand, says the Baalei Kabbalah, if you really want to understand the secret of Yom Kippur, understand the secret of Yom Kippur is that it should be for each and every one of us Yom Kippurim, a day like Purim. What happened on Purim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come down to Mordechai and Esther and tell them to do A, B, and C. What happened in Yom Kippur, what happened at Purim was that Mordechai and Esther were able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their heart and in their soul. They were able to choreograph a relationship between the Jewish people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens on Purim is the capacity for Mordechai and Esther and for the Jewish people to reconnect to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kimu v'kiblu. There was a new reunion between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. If you want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about, Yom Kippur is all about trying to achieve the message of Purim, Yom Kippurim, that each and every one of us should be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Mordechai and Esther were able to galvanize the Jewish people to connect on Purim. You want to understand the message of Yom Kippur? Understand that on Purim we play with masks. Because on Purim, Jews were able to remove their false identities and find their true identities. You want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about? Understand that in Megillas Esther, you don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name once. But it's all about the capacity for the Jewish people to find a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about? Realize that Yom Kippur is about Shleimus. It's about creating a holistic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that when we re-enter the physical world, we're able to do so. We're able to do so through the prism of Torah values. You want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about? Understand that every single Chag, it's supposed to be Chatzi Lecha, half the day filled of your own personal pleasures through the Chag, and Chatzi Lashem, and half to Hashem. Purim is Kula Lachem. Yom Kippur is Kula Lashem. Together, when you're able to merge the messages of Purim and Yom Kippur together, you get the paradigm of Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. You want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about? Understand that Yom Kippur is a day of Yontif. Yom Kippur is a day of Shleimus to the point in which we say, find the person that will allow you to achieve Shleimus by creating a family together. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. You want to understand what Yom Kippur is all about? Realize that that is the true message behind Purim. That Purim, there was this ability to create this renewal. You want to understand the message of Yom Kippur? Realize that Yom Kippur, what was achieved on Yom Kippur? Moshe Rabbeinu scribed the second Luchos, not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Luchos that a Kadosh Baruch Hu scribed were shattered. The Luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu, that a human being, so to say, scribed, those endure forever. That's the message behind Purim. The ability for Mordechai and Esther to create a legacy for the Jewish people, to empower the Jewish people to create a reunion with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's this unbelievably challenging Rambam that some people even suggest it's so challenging that perhaps this Rambam is in some ways corrupt, that it entered in to the Rambam and it's not fully to be taken with the same legitimacy as every other halacha in the Rambam. But I actually look at this Rambam a little bit differently. And the Rambam says the following, the last halacha in Hilchos Purim for the Rambam, or Hilchos Megillah. Kol Sifrei HaNeviim V'chol HaKetuvim. That in the time of Mashiach, all the books of the prophets and all the books of the writings, atidim lihibatel limos Mashiach, will no longer be part and parcel of the canonized text of Tanakh. When I was in Shalavim, Rabbi David Libor was the madrich for the Americans. And he started a program in which we learned two parakim of Tanakh a day. You guys still do it? He does it still? What? Oh, he's running it? Okay, well, he started it. We were the first experiments. So I actually did it. Okay? Two parakim a day. So I guess some things never change. Okay? So let's put it this way. Post-Mashiach, please God, next, maybe still this year, that Tanakh program, according to the Rambam, will be much simpler. Because all you have to do is Chamishi Chumshi Torah, because the only thing that will be part of Tanakh will be Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Megillas Esther. Kol Sifrei Neviim B'chag Tuvim, Rambam Hilchas Megillah Perek Beis Halacha Yedches. Kol Sifrei Neviim B'chag Tuvim Atidim Libatel Limota Mashiach. They will be nullified in the time of Mashiach. Chutzim Megillas Esther, except for Megillas Esther. Harehi Kayemes Kechamisha Chumshei Torah. It is like the five books of the Torah. Ukehilchos Shel Torah Shebal Peh. And it's like the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh, she'einan betelim la'olam, that will not be batel forever. The Bible requirement that you should be in university will be much, much, in Baruch Hashem, easier. Okay? All it will be is the five books of the Torah and the Megillas Esther, a walk in the park. What does it mean? So some suggest that this Rambam was censored, was manipulated in the time of Christians, and there are serious personalities that make that suggestion. Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, was not of that opinion. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik actually may have been of that opinion. But what does this Rambam mean? To me, this Rambam is really the secret to everything we've been discussing. You want to understand how you bring the Mashiach? You want to understand how Mashiach comes? Mashiach comes by understanding the message behind Purim. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not seen in lights and in action in clear and pristine ways. There's no prophet that's telling you exactly what to do. There are no voices that are coming out of the sky telling you exactly what to do. You want to understand how you bring the Mashiach? You want to understand how we create shleimus in the world? You start by creating shleimus in yourself. You start by recognizing the fact that if you're silent in your own life, as Mordechai tells Esther, if you're silent at a time in which you need to step up, you'll never be redeemed. And you'll never redeem anyone else. That Purim represents the capacity for two individuals and a community to come together as redemptive personalities, as personalities that inspired a generation to realize that they could reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to understand why the Baalei Kabbalah are so insistent that despite the fact that Yom HaKippurim was given the name way before Esther's mother was even born, let alone Esther, you want to understand why the Baalei Kabbalah are trying to connect the most holiest day of the year to Purim? Because V'initem es nafshol seichem is not just about the challenge that you feel on Yom Kippur. V'initem es nafshol seichem is the capacity to allow your souls to sing as you find shleimus, as you find connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to understand where that has happened in Jewish history? Understand that that's what Purim is all about. Understand that's what the Megillah is all about. Kriyasa Zuhi Lula. It itself is the ultimate hallowed experience. You want to understand, says the Rambam, what will bring the Mashiach? It won't be Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishayahu, although they're critical and important. Sifrei Tanakh. There's much to be learned from them. But when you can celebrate the message behind Megillas Esther, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not found once, yet it's all about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about finding HaMelech. It's all about finding the peace of God inside ourselves and connecting to the ultimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what will bring Mashiach. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. And that's what Purim is all about. The challenge during Adar is not to become intoxicated by external substances. The challenge in Adar, and the opportunity in Adar, is to become intoxicated by the ability to find our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our own connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, and with this I'll conclude, that on Matan Torah, at Har Sinai, we're told, "V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot v'et ha'lapidim." that every single person, every single Jew, wrote imet kolot. They saw the voices. They saw the voices. And we all know that all the commentators, all the Mefarshim explain, Ro'im et HaKolot represents this unbelievable miracle that you were able to see song, that you were able to see voices. Normally you just hear voices. But the Targum Yerushalmi, says something I think is much more profound. What does V'chol Ha'am Ro'im et HaKolot that the Lapidim mean? That even though all the Jewish people were there together as a community, the greatest opportunity that happened on Matan Torah was V'chol Ha'am Ro'im et HaKolot. Every single Jew found their own spiritual sound. Every single Jew found their own spiritual voice. V'chol Ha'am Ro'im et HaKolot. Every Jew found their own sound. Your sound and your sound is not the same. My sound and your sound is not the same. We connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu differently. The challenge in Adar, the challenge that Mordechai and Esther put to the Jewish people, the challenge that Mordechai puts to Esther is, Ro'im et HaKolot. Do we have the courage to find our voice? Do we have the courage to find our musical engagement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Are we willing to create a symphony in consultation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the work that we'll do within the world. That's what Purim is all about. Mishenifnas Adar Marvin V'Simcha. The ultimate Simcha is the Simcha of Shlemus. The ultimate Simcha is the Simcha of being able to create a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the answer to that question is only found in one place. It's found in each and every one of us. We decide whether we're going to find that relationship or not. We decide whether we're going to find that call or not. And the Rambam is reminding us that when we make the decision to find that voice, then Megillas Esther will bring the Messianic era. First in ourselves by being redeemed, and then for all of Klal Yisrael. And that's why, if you want to understand what to achieve on the Festival of Atonement, of Yom HaKippurim, all you have to do, say the Bali Kabbalah, is realize that the simple message of Yom Kippur is understand the power of Purim, and then you'll be able to achieve the transformational experience of Yom HaKippur. Chodesh Tov.